We're doing picks now. We got the Auburn fight song headed here.
Where Alex we go? Is thrilled to hear it.
Well, so I'm going to play his too. Okay. So,
where UAB, we go? You got UAB's on there?
No.
I didn't say no. His.
No.
He don't want to hear that.
No.
Especially after Trent Dilfer taking pictures last week at the ball game at Neyland Stadium. Who have y'all got this week?
Don't matter. Don't care. In the season. In the season.
Are you moving on to basketball season?
I'm mentally moved on already. Before it even started.
Who's your coach?
For basketball?
No. Who's going to be your coach? Who do you want?
I don't care.
Nick, throw the entire checkbook at Nick Saban. Nick Saban, UAB.
I told him, you know who really should have had that job years ago? Rush Probst. Telling you.
Hey, he would have the strongest team.
Yeah, he'd have a lot to do.
He's got the supply.
Yeah, he'd have a lot to do in the spare time, too. All right.
He could coach a second team on the side, probably.
Yeah. Where are we going with this first game?
And
by the way, we're going to keep up with running totals.
But yeah, we missed a couple weeks. But
a couple?
Yeah, three, whatever. Yeah. I don't know how to count. I'm in Auburn. I claim that we missed 9 weeks.
Well, but you know what? We did do week one of the college football season, and do you know?
I think you won, but it was close. But I got to go back and tally it.
No thinking. I know I did.
Yeah. All right. Know I got Miami right. Neither one of y'all got Miami over Notre Dame right besides me. But
wow.
I think you guys still did pretty well. All right, so we'll start off this week.
How many games are we doing?
We're doing 10 games. We got six SEC games, and we got four non-conference games. We'll start in chronological order. We will go Big Noon kickoff, 11 a.m. on Fox. Number 21, USC, going to Champaign to take on number 23, Illinois. USC, 6.5-point favorite.
Last week, nobody showed me anything about Illinois. They got absolutely destroyed. I'm taking the Trojans, giving up 6.5. Are we picking with the line or no?
No, I'm just giving you the line, but you're just picking that winner outright.
I'm going Trojans, and I think they cover.
All right. Alex?
I'm taking the Trojans, too. Illinois looked awful last week. They're overrated, just like Indiana was last year. And I swear, I don't understand why they're still ranked.
And you know what? They're playing in Champaign, and they'll probably drink a bunch of it the night before.
Yeah, Illinois did look really, really bad. But also, I think you got to give credit to Indiana and Mendoza. Yeah. They were a really good playoff team last year.
Shouldn't have been.
Now that they're getting to play better teams, they're proving themselves. I think Illinois bounces back and beats USC. You got to think USC also hadn't really played anybody yet. So I think Illinois utilizes this embarrassment as a way to show, hey, we're not that bad a football team. I mean, they did beat Duke by 26 on the road earlier this year. I think Illinois gets the job done.
Beat Duke in basketball on the road by 26, and I'll believe in you.
Hey, Duke's got an $8 million quarterback.
Hey, he's just trying to catch up.
He is.
Come on.
All right, second game, we'll go to what is the highest overall total in the entire week this year, or this week. Number 22, Notre Dame and Arkansas, the over-under at 64.5 combined. Whoever loses this game will have three losses already on the year. 11 a.m., ABC, Notre Dame, 3.5-point favorites on the road in Fayetteville.
As we were talking about that, Giddens, an Arkansas player already fumbled again.
Yeah.
Only in the fourth quarter when in the red zone.
Well, I'm going to go on and tell you, Notre Dame cannot enhance their strength of schedule anymore after this game. They play USC. If USC continues to win, that could help them. They cannot lose this football game. I don't care where it's played. I don't care who's quarterbacking. Notre Dame can't lose this game. If Notre Dame loses this game, Sam Pittman saves his job, and all of a sudden, what's his name? Freeman. If he gets on the hot seat, I'm telling you who's going to be the next Notre Dame head coach. It's coming off game day, folks.
Lee Corso?
Yeah. They'll have him out there in a wheelchair. I'm telling you the truth. He said his fifth year at Alabama, there's only one place he would coach other than the Capstone. That's the golden
numbers. He also said when he was at Miami that he'd never leave for the Alabama head coach.
Well, that's true. I mean, Tuberville said that they'd have to ship him out of Oxford in a pine
box. Coaches are kind of like politicians.
I get that. But I'm just telling you, money talks, baby. And who's one of the most wealthiest colleges in the country?
Arkansas.
No.
Texas.
Not. Wally World.
Notre Dame.
So are you picking Notre Dame or Arkansas here?
I'm picking Notre Dame because Notre Dame. I don't think they can afford to lose.
I'm picking Notre Dame as well. Arkansas, their offense is great, but their defense is absolutely abysmal. Blew a huge lead to Memphis last week. Their defensive tackle got carried for 7 yards by a true freshman quarterback to ice the game.
That was fun to watch.
I have no confidence in them right now.
And I'll tell you right now, Notre Dame will have a field day running the football.
Exactly.
So far, Notre Dame in three games, they've played three pretty good quarterbacks, and they've all put up a lot of points. Even Purdue in their loss put up 23. Meanwhile, Carson Beck had a pretty good day against Notre Dame. Marcel Reed looked like one of the best quarterbacks in the country against them. And now they're going to go up against the most efficient quarterback in the SEC through four games in Talen Green at Arkansas. However, Arkansas is about the most unclutch team in college football this year. So even though I think Talen Green plays well, Notre Dame squeaks out by a field goal. By a field goal, like Corso would say, on the road over Arkansas. So we all go Notre Dame game two. All right, game three. We will go to the 2:30 game on ABC as LSU goes to the Grove to take on number 13 Ole Miss. Both teams undefeated. Ole Miss in a pick'em is a 1.5-point favorite.
I'll let one of you guys go first. I've went first twice now.
You want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
I'm taking the Ole Miss Rebels. Trinidad Chambliss has been a breath of fresh air at quarterback. Austin Simmons looked horrible to start the year. Hate that he loses his starting job because his backup's playing so well, but so be it. Love the weapons that Trinidad Chambliss has around him, especially running back Kawan Lacy. The defense is a little bit suspect for Ole Miss, as it's always been, under Lane Kiffin and now Pete Golding at defensive coordinator. But LSU's offense, absolutely awful all year long. Can't run the football. Starting running back Caden Durham's has an ankle injury, questionable to play, even if he does play. As a running back, ankle injuries are always tough. And when your best player who runs the football can't run the football and you already struggle as is, LSU is going to be awful in this game. I'm taking Ole Miss.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm going Ole Miss too. I mean, Whit Weeks is more concerned about what he's going to do after the game than what he's going to do during the game. Lane Kiffin, I think he sent his daughter as a sleeper agent to guarantee this victory. And we will salute Landry for her efforts as Ole Miss pulls off this victory, go to 5-0. I feel bad for Simmons. I think he's lost his job to Trinidad Chambliss at this point. And I think Ole Miss is going to be one step closer to eventually choking their spot in the playoff, because that's what Lane Kiffin does. But not yet. Not yet. Ole Miss gets the job done. They win.
Well, I'm going to make it unanimous. Brian Kelly loses one early every year, and he hadn't so far. I believe this is it. Grove's hard place to play. And I believe that Lane Kiffin is not getting calls from Gainesville until Billy Napier is fired.
They're doing this one for Pop.
I'm telling you now.
You remember Pop?
Yeah, but I will tell you this. When Ole Miss loses, he's getting a call from Gainesville.
I still think it's going to be Jed Fish.
No.
That's who they call first.
They're going to clean his fish. It's going to be Lane Kiffin.
They clean his fish. All right. Next up, we'll stay at 2:30. ESPN. This one in College Station. The now unranked Auburn Tigers hopefully will only face 11 other men on the field and not, 17, 18, when they face A&M. They're expected to face 12 because this is the home of the 12th man, but hopefully it's no more than that. Texas A&M, 6.5-point favorites. This is where I made my season last year on Auburn picks. David, what are we going to do here?
No, you go first on this one.
I'm going to go first here. Well, Auburn has announced today that Horatio Fields is out for the season with a broken foot. Now, he's not necessarily the most productive receiver, but he is a leader in that clubhouse. I don't think that his influence goes away with his broken leg as much as his blocking production. But besides that, I think you're going to see an opportunity for the fastest player on Auburn's football team to make a stride. His position opens up. Perry Thompson and Cam Coleman will finally be on the field together for the first time in Auburn uniforms. It seems like they never get that opportunity to since they came together in the same class. I think Auburn gets the job done on the road. Jackson Arnold doesn't get sacked. He at least 9 times, but surely not 10 times. Auburn actually commits to running the ball like they had so well throughout every game this year until Oklahoma. And Oklahoma's defense gets the respect it deserves. While they got help from the refs winning that game, the primary helper in winning that game was Oklahoma's front seven. And I think Auburn has more success running the ball. Perry Thompson goes over the top for a touchdown because of the fact that they're so concerned about the run, and Auburn gets the job done on the road.
Go ahead.
Not taking Auburn here. I'm going to take Texas A&M.
I can't believe it.
Oh, I can.
Auburn looked awful last week. I get it. The refs helped Oklahoma out a lot. As a Bama fan, I know all about it. The refs helping out Oklahoma like they did last year. But your offensive line didn't block. The play calling was absolutely abysmal from Hugh Freeze. Jeremiah Cobb felt like he had that big run in the second half, and I never saw him again. Now, I was really wondering what Hugh Freeze was doing running QB draw 15 times straight. It was pretty mind-boggling to me to watch him call that football game. The defense for Auburn has been pretty good all year long, but the secondary is your weak point, and Texas A&M has two of the better receivers in the SEC in Mario Craver and Casey Concepcion. Craver himself averages 14 yards after the catch, and I just don't think Auburn's going to be able to keep up with him in the secondary.
Well, I'm going to go on and tell you now, I'm not calling with my heart this time. I'm going to call with my head, and I'm still going to take the Auburn Tigers.
Hey!
And I'm telling you why. Our run defense is as good as anybody I've seen in college football this year. We're going to make them one-dimensional, and I do believe our secondary can play with them, because I believe that we're going to put him on the ground a few times like they did Jackson Arnold last week. But I am going to agree with Giddens in one thing. We're going to ground and pound it tomorrow.
Need to.
I just believe Auburn's run game is going to come alive tomorrow. I think Auburn wins.
All right, 2 for Auburn and 1 for Texas A&M. We still got a lot of picks to get through. So we're going to try to rapid fire these things.
Let's rapid fire.
Number 15, Tennessee at Mississippi State. Mississippi State undefeated. Tennessee won 1 loss to Georgia, 3:15 p.m. on the SEC Network. Tennessee 7.5-point favorites on the road.
I'll go on this one first. Mississippi State is not yet to play a good football team. I'll play it right now.
It's pretty fair. I mean, Mississippi State Tennessee. Did beat Arizona State on a pretty crazy end of that game. I'm still not sure if Arizona State's as good without Cam Scadabo, but they do still have Sam Leavitt, and he's a pretty good quarterback. But I think this game's a little bit too much. Mississippi State can score, but Tennessee's going to score a lot more. Tennessee wins this one on the road.
I'm taking the Bulldogs. I'm taking, taking the upset. The Cowbells are out.
You're taking a beating's what you're doing.
Those Cowbells can get in somebody's head.
Tennessee has one of the worst defenses in the SEC. They have the worst pass defense in the SEC, and that's what Jeff Lebby loves to do, is sling the football around the football field.
Listen, one quick thing before we move on from this game. Can either one of you guys answer me? Mississippi State is not an agricultural school. Their mascot is a Bulldog. Why in the H-E you know what are they ringing cowbells?
You mean the cowbell we got in the closet over there and bring in here?
No, it comes from Jackie Sherrill, because he came from Texas A&M to there. Get rid of them, folks. It's not part of your heritage. It's part of your stupidity.
It's all they got.
No. You got a bulldog collar you can put around your neck or something. Get rid of them. It's not part of your heritage. It's part of your stupidity.
All right, we'll go on to the next game. 6 p.m. on ESPN. 2 undefeateds going at it in the revamped Big 12. It's going to be Arizona at number 14, Iowa State. Iowa State 6.5-point favorites. Who's going to come out of this one still undefeated?
I'll go first, and let's just rapid fire on this just sake for time. I'm going Iowa State.
Iowa State?
Taking Iowa State.
I think we're 3 for 3 on this one. I'm going to go Iowa State as well. Although Tatoria McMillan, not on that team for Arizona, but Arizona looks a lot better without him. I wouldn't count out Arizona in this one, but I had Iowa State making the playoff. I'm going to stick with it. All right, we'll go. Now, here's game day. This is a game of the week. NBC or Peacock, 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Number 6, Oregon at number 3, Penn State. It's a whiteout. Penn State, 3.5-point favorite. This is a big one. This is a really big one and a pick 'em.
Oregon coaches well in big games, and Penn State does not. So what does that tell you? I'm going with Penn State. I'm going against the grain. I really think that this is time that Franklin has a big game. in his backyard, whiteout, national TV. I don't think Oregon's ready for this yet.
Yeah, I don't think Dante Moore's ever experienced anything quite like this that he's going to run into at Happy Valley. I'm going to go with you, David. I think Penn State wins this one at home. That defensive line gets after Oregon, and they might sack Dante Moore more than Jackson Arnold got sacked. Saturday.
I think I said Kurt Franklin. You know what I meant to say. I think
James Franklin.
James Franklin is ready for this game. Maybe not the rest of the year, but I think he's ready tomorrow night.
Taking the Ducks. Going to be different here.
You're going completely against them. Yeah,
you're either going to be way ahead or way behind. Yeah. One of the two.
Dante Moore, I think he's ready for the challenge. The receivers are question mark. The running backs, he has a lot of running backs at his disposal. Drew Aller for Penn State has looked awful all year. One of the worst QBRs in the country. The stat has shown he'd be better throwing the ball into the dirt every play than what he's doing right now. Oregon's going to be able to stop the run, make Drew Aller beat them, and I don't think Aller can.
All right, Alex has gone against us the last, three times, I think?
Yeah.
All right, let's see if we make it 4-for-4 here. ABC, 6:30 p.m. Central Time, number 17. The Crimson Tide of Alabama head to Between the Hedges to take on.
Who was that supposed to be?
I don't know.
Sounded more like,
I'm hungry, Daddy.
Yeah, maybe that's what I was going for. Number 5, Georgia, Between the Hedges. Georgia is a 3.5-point favorite for this one, I believe, as well. Yep. Does Alabama get back to their winning ways after the Florida State loss? I know that the last two games they've won, but, I mean, those games really count. Or does Georgia keep it rolling after that big win over Tennessee?
Can I go first?
Yeah.
I'm taking Alabama. I had rather take my socks and shoes off and walk across a hot bed of coals to get to a bowl of sushi than to pull for Kirby Smart. Alabama wins.
Look, there's games that you circle based on previous years. And last year, Georgia was down big, then came back, then ended up still losing. They've circled this game. They've circled Ryan Williams. They know that he's not 17 anymore, so he's lost all of his 17-year-old superpowers. He's come back down to earth as a regular old 18-year-old. And I think Georgia wins this game at home.
One more quick thing I will say. Alabama, Jim Miller is back.
He's back, and so tomorrow. Is Tim Keenan.
Okay. Keenan is going to be more of a fixture for Alabama tomorrow than Jim Miller. Jim Miller will play. He'll be a decoy. Alabama will roll into Athens tomorrow and win.
People are talking about how they got to focus on Brian Williams. He beat him last year. Well, look at the other receivers around him now. Jeremy Bernard is arguably the better receiver of the two. Isaiah Horton's back there. Lottezier Brooks, Rico Scott, Cole Adams. It's not just one player that's going to beat him on offense.
The problem is Simpson can't throw it from here to there without hitting the ground.
That's not true.
No, Simpson's had a pretty good last couple Tennessee, weeks. I know he hadn't played a team quite the level.
Come on. Who is a play?
Georgia, but he's been very efficient throwing the ball.
Wisconsin.
And Tennessee showed something in Georgia's defense to be a weakness, and Alabama's going to be able to exploit that.
Well,
I'm taking the Crimson Tide.
But I will say Georgia's going to put some points on the board, too.
Yeah, they will.
They will.
So I go Georgia, and both of y'all going, the Crimson Tide of Alabama.
You might want to get this on the podcast because it may be the one and only time you ever hear me say that Alabama's going to win.
So talking about games that are circled, we'll go to the SEC Network game, 6:45 p.m. Central Time. 2-1 Kentucky heads to Columbia to take on the South Carolina Gamecocks that thought they'd be a whole lot better than 2-2 right now.
I called it earlier in the season. I said they were frauds.
Well, I don't think they'll be a fraud tomorrow night. I think South Carolina wins. I just don't think Kentucky's good enough to go in there and win. That's just
I'm the same way. Kentucky doesn't have a lot at the quarterback position right now. The defense is suspect. In South Carolina, while their offense has been pretty bad, I believe in Lenore Seller as much as I do Kentucky.
Kentucky went into the game last year thinking that they were pretty good. They were going to be one of the dark horses in the SEC, and then South Carolina obliterated them in Lexington. I think Kentucky goes on the road and gets revenge for last year. Zach Calzada pulls off another stunner in the SEC.
At his, fourth school stop in the SEC?
I can't count that.
It's like TJ Finley. It don't matter.
All right. I saved the best for last, David.
Come on.
I saved the best for last this week. I know that matter which team this you pick here, you're going to be thrilled to pick them. 9:15 p.m. Central Time on ESPN in the Big 12. The 25th ranked.
I'm already uninterested.
The 25th ranked undefeated Brigham Young University Cougars head to Folsom Field to take on the Buffaloes of Colorado, led by Primetime. Is it going to be BYU or is it going to be Colorado? BYU 6.5-point favorites on the road.
I'm not picking this game.
He's not picking it. He's not.
I'll just take a loss. I'm not going to pick.
You're going to forfeit? Forfeiting the pick.
Yeah, I'm going to listen. I'll tell you what. Brigham Young wins. It'll be like going to Folsom Prison, though, instead of Folsom Field.
You don't believe in Primetime?
I wouldn't choose him if they were playing Afghanistan. I'd put a turban on my head and ride a camel to the stadium.
Oh, my gosh.
So, BYU.
I'm taking the Buffaloes. It'd be better. I'm taking Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders.
Take him all the way.
I shouldn't say this. It'd be better to ride a camel than to fly there. So, BYU is going – David's picking BYU. You're picking – Colorado.
Come on and pick
Sanders.
I'm going to go BYU with a true freshman quarterback.
Come on and pick your playoff darling last year.
No. BYU is not going to the playoffs this year.
No, but they were your playoff darling last year. And what happened to them?
They went 10-2. And
they went down. They got to the playoffs. They hadn't played anybody. They're not playing anybody tomorrow night. But I'm going to pick them to win. Because I wouldn't pick him if he was playing against Georgia and Alabama combined.
Well, I'll go with BYU as well. Colorado has a myriad of issues offensively, especially at the most important position. And there's no telling what quarterback's going to trot out there. When you don't get any consistency at the quarterback position, it's really tough to have success. And I think that's going to doom Colorado until they figure that problem out.
Some either going to be really good tomorrow or really bad.
Yeah. I guess I'll be mediocre. But I'll take that as a loss. I really didn't want to pick that game, period.
That's game of the week.
You put it on there for – no, that is not the game of the week. What's their combined records?
5-2. Not bad.
Thank you. Auburn's better than that.
Yeah.
Thank you.